Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hey there, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. I am Chris Alford. I'm the blessed guy who is the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 at the corner of Winding Way in Pasadena, and would love to have you come worship with us someday. I host this program each week where we talk about ancient future things. We are an evangelical, Bible-believing, Jesus-loving church that really believes that the road to our evangelical Christian future does, in fact, run through our ancient Christian past. Back in the studio again, and you know why? Because I just love her, and because the last time was so good, is my friend Brenda Zamorano. Hi, Brenda. Welcome back.
Well, hello, Chris. Hello, everyone out there. It's so beautiful to be together today.
It's wonderful to have you back. Brenda is not only my friend, I'm proud to say, she is also a wonderful counselor therapist. I have benefited myself from you, Brenda. Bless you and thank you for that. As a pastor, I have sent scads of people to you. And all of them report how marvelously blessed they've been by you. Brenda, you call yourself a biblical prayer counselor. Sometime we might want to unpack all of that. But the response, my goodness, Brenda, to the last conversation we had about fear was really remarkable. And you said you've had a bunch of people even come back to you and say, hey, I heard you all the way over here in San Francisco, right?
Right. I was very honored and also taken aback that through the medium of radio, look how many people that we can just gather in for a few minutes so that we could sit down together, be encouraged, and leave the conversation differently.
And folks, if you didn't catch it, you can by zipping over to the Epiclesis website. That's epiclesis.org, E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. Brenda, you have been doing this ministry of biblical prayer counseling for a long time. And as we've been casting about for potential conversation starters, really, it's not hard at all, because as you think about things that people struggle with, or we ourselves struggle with, fear, for example, is one at the top of the heap, and golly, so is worry, which is something we want to talk about today.
That's right. I love to look up words.
Yeah?
Because when I look up the definition of a word, Holy Spirit meets me in that insight.
I'm the same way, yeah.
Guess what the word worry means? It comes from a German root word.
Yeah.
And it means to strangle.
Wow.
To choke. To divide in parts.
Wow.
As in a divided mind.
Well, and we know who the chief divider is, yeah?
Yes. So the state of being worried is the expectation of something bad happening.
Yeah. It's the thinking ahead that something yucky is going to happen.
Well, because what worry does in us projects into the future.
Right, right, right.
Yes, it does. And what worry does is it builds in me an expectation of trouble coming.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen that in so many people's lives. And it develops kind of a cloudy spirit and an expectation, that's your word, that something yucky is going to happen. And then in some ways, they kind of become self-fulfilling prophecies. Do you think?
Here's part of our struggle. I think a lot of people get together and they never admit that they're angry or worried.
Hmm.
We try to hide it. We try to push it down.
Yeah.
Because I need to appear capable. I need to appear that I have got control.
Got it all together, right.
And yet Jesus says in John 14, do not let your heart be troubled.
Right.
So he's appealing to us. Actually, it's a command that our responsibility is over the way that we respond mentally and emotionally to any circumstance in our life. Jesus has already provided for us everything needed for what lies ahead. And he says, do not let your heart be worried. Don't let it be afraid. I was praying about this podcast and I asked, Holy Spirit, what is the antidote to worry? And he said, Brenda, you must believe in my goodness.
Wow. Let's unpack that a little bit. Let me ask you to think on that just for a moment. And let me remind people that they're listening to an episode of Ancient Future Faith. I'm the host, Chris Alford. I'm the pastor of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith Christian church in Sacramento. Today, my special guest back again in the studio is Brenda Zamorano. She's a biblical prayer counselor. She runs a wonderful ministry called Hope in Life Ministry. Today, we're talking about a really important topic. Last time was fear. This time is worry. And Brenda, just before the break there, you were saying that the antidote to worry is believing and resting in, I'll add that bit, the fact that God is good. Talk about that some more.
What I'd like to do is to highlight, what does worry do to my soul?
Okay.
Okay? Because then we will have the antidote really excite us.
Okay.
So worry darkens my mind and opens up my emotions to confusion and depression.
Yeah. Boy, that's the truth.
Worry takes me where God does not want me to go. See, if I let worry lead me, Holy Spirit is not leading me.
Right. Yeah, for okay? sure. Yeah.
So worry is the state of mind that impacts the emotions where I am troubled, full of confusion, and I'm focusing on the problem rather than the provision of God.
Oh, well said. Yeah. In fact, I think you need to say that one again.
Our focus isn't on the provision of God. Mm-hmm. Our focus is on the problem and what we've got to do about it.
Oh, yeah.
And we are under so much stress because we have limits in our humanity. So the whole point with worry, it is an enemy. And we talked last time with fear, and I said, you will never defeat an enemy you don't declare war on.
That's right.
So we agreed in that podcast, we've got to declare war on fear. So here we are again, and we're in a climate where in a half a second, if you sit in the presence of any news, you'll be worried.
For sure.
So what we're wanting to do is equip the mind and the emotions to come into agreement. Wait a minute. God is good, and he has already provided everything that's needed for what I need in this circumstance. The big question is, do you turn to God or do you turn to yourself?
Yeah. I think visually, and if you were able to see me out there right now, you would see that my hands are flopping all over the place. And so as you were saying that, Brenda, I was thinking of upward rather than downward and in, because so much of our worldly philosophy and frankly, pagan philosophy is a downward and inward introspective kind of, I could just search down deep within myself, but that's not traditional or historic Christian spirituality at all. It's upward and reflective and open. And that really gets to the heart of it, doesn't it? Which direction are we going to point our satellite dishes, right?
Well, Colossians 3 says this, fix your mind on things above where Christ is seated.
There you go.
You see, your mind is the battlefield. And Romans 12 says, your transformation in this tough circumstance you're facing is connected to what you believe.
And so that's the connection you're making with the importance of understanding and resting and standing on the foundational truth that God is good.
God is good. Because John writes, God is love. Tozer, I love Tozer.
Oh,
I read him all the time.
One of my favorites.
And Tozer says that God's goodness is the foundation of our expectations.
Wow.
I want to say that again.
Yeah, please.
God's goodness is the very foundation of our expectations. Mm-hmm. See, all of us have mental thoughts coming through our minds that war against the truth. God is for you. God loves you. And everything you need, he wants to give it to you. But here's what he says, ask. James says you don't have because you do not ask.
Right.
I just ask all of you, how many times do you go to worry instead of turning to the Holy Spirit and saying, oh, Holy Spirit, what do I need right now in this moment for this situation?
You know, that's just such an obvious no-brainer, and yet I'm sure that not many of us do that.
We all struggle because, see, that's what the flesh does. The flesh or that old nature looks to itself.
Right. How can I fix this?
Right.
I got to pick up the phone and call somebody. I got to figure this out on my own. Yeah. So it just occurs to me that wonderful Tozer quote about God's goodness being the foundation of our expectation.
Yes.
You said a minute ago that worry has a way, and I don't remember exactly how you said it, but it was something to the effect that worry has a way of getting us to look with a particular lens into the future. But if we will stand on that foundational truth that God is good, God's goodness also has a way of us to look into the future with an expectational lens as well, right?
Yes.
It's a forward-looking thing as well, God's goodness.
So
it's a change of lens.
See, what's really an invitation here today is the very root word, worry. Because in English, we lose a lot because of our English language. But think about it. When you worry about something, you are strangling and cutting off the very presence of Holy Spirit in you, speaking to you the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge that he wants to give to you for what it is you need. You know, I was reading about Elijah, the prophet.
Mm-hmm.
That guy takes on all of these prophets of Baal, so courageous, and they're all defeated and killed. And one woman, Jezebel, says, hey, dude, you know what? By this time tomorrow, you're going to be dead. And Elijah, tired, yes, weary, but he goes on the run because he came underneath what Jezebel said and he believed it.
Worry and fear, yeah.
So whatever it is that any of you are under today that's heavy, that is depressing, you can be assured that is not the heart of your Father who is in heaven, because he is good and he loves you. And what he says in Matthew 11 is, I want you to come to me. And so I think a lot of our struggle is, Lord willing, coming more quickly and turning to the Holy Spirit. It's called prayer.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing that worry and that strangling, what an interesting picture that is. Isn't it interesting that in that strangling of thought, that cuts off the that cuts off the oxygen to our brains that we can't think straight, and we don't even think about asking the Holy Spirit to intercede for us and say, okay, what do we need right now?
True. We turn to ourselves, we panic, and that's what we talked about last time with fear, because we're not going to be in our right mind. Worry darkens my soul's capacity to problem solve God's way.
Let me ask you a question. This just occurs to me, and you know that these little things just dart through my brain, so I'm going to throw you a curve here, but I'm sure you can handle it. In your counseling ministry, do you come across people who worry a lot? I'm sure you do, but who kind of are so used to that lifestyle that they even are comfortable in it or get used to it or maybe even revel in it in a kind of way, that it's difficult to give up?
That is such a great question. I'll give you personal testimony, if I may.
Yeah.
I grew up in a family, and I'm not putting down my family, but in our family system, and I think many other family systems, if you love one another, you worry. Worry becomes an identification of love.
Yeah.
So when something is going on and you're not worried, that's translated in that family belief system, you don't really love that person.
Uh-huh.
Well, Jesus never worried. And Jesus was really, really clear at what was going to happen to him. And so Jesus invites us to recognize that worry has nothing to do with love. Worry is about unbelief, frankly.
Mm-hmm. I was sharing several sermons with our congregation about fear. You and I talked about that a little bit. And I suggested to them at one point that I think sometimes we can sanctify our fears and they mask as a righteous thing. We can be afraid of something, but somehow call it righteous. What you said just then is a similar thing with worry, isn't it? We can worry about something, but call it righteous. Oh, I'm just concerned.
Right.
But
yes.
Really, it's worry. It's
yes.
Because you're not turning to the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
I think it's one of those little foxes that if we don't like regularly, because that's the beauty of belonging to a body of believers. That's the beauty of coming together and having the pastor give us messages, because we forget and we come underneath a lie that to worry about someone is to care about them. That's not biblical. That's
no.
not true. The Father's not worried about any of us. The Son is not worried about any of us. And yet their love is perfect love. Because they're saying, just come to me. I will give you rest. Rest is such an antidote to the condition of worry.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a testimony. I don't know what lies ahead, but I know God's got it. And I'm learning to surrender my control over to Him. That's how the Son of God lived.
Mm.
He lived completely submitted to His Father.
Well, we've said a lot, and I want us to do a little exercise here at the end where we kind of put it all together. We've talked about, gosh, what, the roots of the word worry being about strangling and dividing. You've talked about the antidote of worry being the foundational belief that God is good. We've talked about Jesus himself saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. And in the same context of that scripture is his parting gift of peace. We've talked about how we need to turn to the Holy Spirit in those moments of worry. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to walk through a scenario. And I'm going to remind folks they're listening to Ancient Future Faith. It's a radio program and podcast from the Ministry of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith Christian church in Sacramento, California. We'd love to have you come worship with us on a Sunday morning. You can find all the information at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. Brenda, let's put together a test case. Let's say that somebody's in their car right now. And they are driving along, everything's great, and a thought goes through their mind about a conversation that they had with somebody. And what happens next?
And they're remembering the body language
mm-hmm.
of the person, and they begin to line up their thinking
mm-hmm.
with where they believe in the conversation they were rejected. Where they felt rejection.
And there was that word or two that could be interpreted.
Oh, yeah. Happens a lot
mm-hmm.
because we second guess how something went. And here's what I've learned. Whatever you think upon is going to impact what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
So in a nanosecond, there's your emotions, you know, and there we go.
And I'm getting strangled by worry.
Oh, what they think about me, but also then the accuser of the brethren is right there.
Mm-hmm. You messed up.
With other moments
mm-hmm.
with that person. So we start building a case in our own imagination.
Yeah, remember that other time that you were with them?
And exactly. Mm-hmm. We speculate. We imagine. We have our opinions.
Now, you're going to see them again next week, and they're not going to want to.
Oh, that's where the expectations mm-hmm. really get a hold of us. So mm-hmm. we'll avoid them or we'll be cool with them. So I'm in my car and I have this negative thought. Out loud, I'll say, Holy Spirit.
Now we're flipping to the good way to deal with
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Right? Okay.
Yes. The quicker I do it, the sooner I recover.
Oh, good. Okay, throw it at us. Let's go.
Holy Spirit, I bless so-and-so. I thank you for their life. And Lord, you take out of my heart now any temptation to be bitter, feel rejected. I want to hand over to you any worry about what they think or believe about me. And as we do that, then it's gone. In fact, there's so many times, 3-4 hours later, I think, oh, thank you, Lord. You completely took that out of my heart.
And God, I will choose to stand on the truth that you are good.
Yes. And see, it's the goodness of God that draws us more and more to run to him. When someone is good to me, when someone is kind to me, oh, it so moves my heart. And God is kind. He's so kind. And he loves to be merciful to you. You see, you don't have to earn anything with him. And what touches me is there's so much mental suffering going on because worry really does strangle the joy of the Lord. And the word of God says, the joy of how he loves you is your strength. That's where you will be encouraged and rise up and not allow the power of the circumstance dictate to you your future.
So, beloved, right now, maybe you're driving in your car and worried about something. Maybe you're sitting in your living room and you feel those cold hands of worry around your neck. Yeah. Or maybe you're at work right now and you're worried about that report thingamajig that was supposed to be done. I don't know what the situation is. But beloved, you don't have to worry.
No.
Brenda, the antidote to worry is?
Believing in the goodness of God. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, he's done everything for you. And he says, just fix your gaze on him and remind yourself of what Jesus has done. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you have seen my Father. And I am for you. I'm not against you. And see, there is an enemy that lies to you and tells you that this life is all about how you pull it off. Don't you believe it? Mm-mm. Your life is hid in Christ. He loves you. He is with you right now. And we bless your spirit, your soul, and your body this very day to be freed up from the power of worry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it feels lighter in this room right now, Brenda.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Oh, folks, you can see why I'm so delighted that Brenda Zamorano is my friend. And I can't wait until we have another one of these opportunities to talk about something. Brenda, I'm going to bet that you have helped countless folks today with this wonderful conversation. Thank you again for stopping by. Always good to see you.
Thank you. God bless you. Chris, thank you for the honor. Thank you for even thinking to ask me.
Folks, until we gather for another episode of Ancient Future Faith, I really want you to ponder this. Surely, the road to our Christian future does really run through our ancient Christian past. We have so much to learn from those who came before us. The Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the Evangelical Church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hey folks, one more really important word before you go. On the last weekend of October, the 29th and 30th, Epiclesis is hosting a retreat for the whole Christian community featuring best-selling author Rod Dreher. He wrote a marvelous book called Live Not by Lies, a manual for Christian dissidents. And you simply don't want to miss this amazing opportunity. Find all the information at epiclesis.org. That web address is epiclesis.org. It's going to be an amazing retreat, and I'd love to see you there.